And now, Pastor Scott Reese, Director of Reconciliation Resources Ministry, will bring the word. Amen.
Well, amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Reverend Tony, his wonderful wife, the elders and deacons of this church, the congregation, and my good pals from the Strong Tower. God bless you. It truly is an honor and a privilege to be here today. And maybe I'm too tall for this microphone. Is it, can you hear me okay, or should I grab one of these mics? Okay, all right. But it truly is a privilege for me to be here. I have great respect for this church, this ministry, and it's a great highlight of my week to spend Tuesdays at Strong Tower, and so it's just great to be here. I just wanted to mention, too, when I'm done preaching, usually I take my time, shake everyone's hand, but I'm going to have to, like, sneak out as soon as I'm done because I have another preaching engagement. And I'm preaching at a Chinese church in Tinley Park in just a little bit, too. So that'll be a little bit different. But it's good to be here today. I tell you what, my heart's already been blessed. Children, man, you all were great. You were wonderful. And Sister Carolyn, God bless you for your hard work. And this is just truly a privilege for me to be here today. Today I'm going to speak on who do you love? Our scripture is found in Matthew chapter 5. If you want to turn with me, Matthew chapter 5. And I forgot to ask the custom of this church. Do you stand for the reading? Let's do it for today anyways. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. This is the words of Jesus. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father which is in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Listen to this question here. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings right now. Lord, for just a few moments, I pray you'll help us to set aside all the cares of our life, all the pressures of our life, anything that would distract us from this appointed time to hear your word. Lord, I ask that you'll speak through me. I humble myself before you. No one is worthy to proclaim your word, but I pray, Lord, that the word of God will come forth strong and mighty and powerful, and that it'll touch hearts, Lord. Speak to our hearts, dear Lord. We need to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need our hearts transformed, Lord. We need a spark of revival in our lives, Lord. And so we know that you are the source of all blessings. So we look for you to bless this service. Even now we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And since this is my first time here, let me just begin by just giving you a real brief word of testimony. You know, when God's been good to you, you just got to let it out, you know. And God has been good to me. And let me tell you how I came to know the Lord. And as I share my testimony, I just want to say, first of all, I give God all the honor and glory and praise. And then also as a minister, I share all the highlights. I don't go through all the valleys, and, you know, I don't want to portray myself that I've lived a perfect life and have never, God has been very gracious to me and merciful to me, but I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Great privilege. And I went to summer camp one time when I was 13 years old, and they had what was called a testimony meeting. Does anyone know what a testimony meeting is? That's where you stand up and people tell the testimony about how they found Christ or what God has done in their life. And you know where I sat? Way in the back. I was just quiet, the skinny little kid. I didn't want to say anything or do anything. And you know what? The minister, he pointed me out then. He said, "You there, you're the preacher's son. Stand up and give us your testimony." And I stood up and the thought hit me. You know, I've grown up, I've been going to church ever since I was a little baby. I mean, they carted me to church as a little baby. And I knew all about God. But you know what? My heart was convicted that I didn't really know God in a personal way. You know, being in a garage does not make you a car. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. And as a 13-year-old boy, you know, I realized that I was a sinner, lost, on my way to hell, unable to help myself, and need of God's mercy. And I prayed, bowed down and humbled myself before God and confessed my sins, asked Him to save my sorry soul. And at that moment, I was passed from death to life, from hell to heaven. And God did a work in my life. And I give God the glory and praise for it. And you know, once God does a work in your life, you can't keep it to yourself. You just got to go and tell somebody about it. I mean, you know, if God's been good, people say, well, you know, sometimes preachers, we try to, you know, pressure you. Go out, you got to share your faith, tell people. You know what? We really need to do is just got to say, you need to think about how good God has been to you. Because once you realize how good God has been to you, you just can't be quiet. It just boils up in your soul, and you just got to spit it out. You just got to find somebody to tell that God is good all the time. And you know, as a 13-year-old boy, man, I realized that the people that I went to school with, junior high, they didn't know the Lord. And I did my best going on Saturday, sharing my faith and to others. And God, I was part of a youth group, and we started coming to the Chicago. And as a teenager, I went to the Robert Taylor Homes, an unusual calling for a young man. And I'm not going to tell you all of my stories, but God told me to start a Bible club. So I liked basketball, invited kids over to play basketball, and said, come play basketball, and we're going to have some refreshments and stuff. Well, they didn't know what the "and stuff" part was. So we played basketball, had some food, and I pulled out my Bible and said, this is the "and stuff" part. And they're like, what? This cat's got a Bible. What's he about to do here? And I preached my first little sermon. The neighbor boy, a guy named Rich, said, you know what? I don't know the Lord. I need to give my life to God too. And you know what? God sparked a little revival. And soon, my house was packed out with kids, not just to play basketball, but to learn about Jesus. And we filled up my living room, and we had to go somewhere else. So we said, all right, what are we going to do? So we began to rent the recreational center there. And soon that got filled up. And soon, I grew up in Glenwood. Kids started coming from Ford Heights. Anyone ever hear of Ford Heights? All right. Kids started coming from Ford Heights. And you know what? God just blessed and did a work, and this grew into many clubs. And when I went to Ford Heights, my heart was just broken. And I wanted to be a minister. I started going to Bible college. And I noticed something. I'd go out sharing my faith in some places, and you know what? I'd knock on the door. Slam, we ain't interested. Go to another door. Slam, we ain't interested. But I go to Ford Heights. Can I come in and tell you about Jesus? Sure, come in. We'd be happy to have you tell us about Jesus. Little boys and girls, can I tell you a Bible story? Sure, we'd like to hear a Bible story. And I, you know, no dummy here. You know, this is an open door. And God led me to start a ministry in Ford Heights. And God laid it, you know, we were just crazy. I was a crazy young person. You know, we had a Bible club. We were meeting every day, every Saturday, and we had all sorts of teenagers coming. And we said, we need a place to meet. And we didn't have any money, anything to do. But we said, we ought to do what the drug dealers do. They just take over an abandoned building. If they can do it for drugs and prostitution, why can't we do it for the cause of Jesus Christ? So we picked out this abandoned building, this abandoned house, got a padlock so we could lock it up, went in there, cleaned it up, made our own potbelly stove out of big old, big old can. I don't know what you call those big old garbage cans. I remember one time the chimney fell out and we all had to run out the door. But you know what? No organization behind me, no big foundation behind me, but a mighty and a powerful God. And you know, kids started coming to the Lord, and we said, you know, we need to start a church here. And not because there wasn't good churches in the community, there were, but you know, I was ministering in the projects, and I was ministering to people that were really hurt up, and when they would go to church, they wouldn't feel comfortable because they just didn't own the things that was expected of them. And I'm all for dressing up for church, that's fine, but if you make someone feel like not welcome, because what they, I said, you know what, we're just going to start a church. Come as you are. Just come as you are. So we started a church in the living room projects, in the projects there. I like to tell people, very humble beginning. My first pulpit was a chair, plunk, a chitlin bucket. Y'all know what a chitlin bucket is? Most places I tell the testimony, they don't know what it is. All right. Chitlin bucket on top of the chair, a towel on top of that. That was my first pulpit. And you know what? Soon God packed out that little living room and he said, you know what? We need a bigger place to meet. And we started to pray for that. Now, just to give you a little background, there was a tavern downtown. When I say downtown, there's like three stores, you know, but it's downtown in Fort Heights, you know, on Lincoln Highway there. And on the top part was a house. And one night, I was taking the kids home, and when I would take them home, I'd walk them to the door just to make sure they get in safely there. And a man met me there with a gun, pointing the gun at me, and he said, if I ever see you again, I'm going to kill you. Now, at this time, I had just graduated from Bible college. Had a couple job offers. California was one place, Minnesota another place, and I had this little tiny church. But anyways, when I saw that guy, you know, I just said, well, help me, Jesus. God saw me through that night, and I was okay. God, you know what? The safest place to be is where? In the center of God's will. I could have run off to Minnesota and taken a job there, but you know what? I wouldn't have been any safer in Minnesota than I was in Fort Heights. Because, you know, if God is going to protect, God is my strength. He is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And so, I tell you that story to give you a background. Tragically, the mayor's son was murdered at this tavern, and they lost their liquor license, and they had to try to get some business. So they came to me and said, how would you like to rent our place for a church? Amen? And this is a wonderful story. You know, like David said, let the heathen rage. Let them huff. Let them puff. When God wants to do something, you know, all the legions of the devil, I ain't going to stop them. God is going to do what he wants to do. And here this family was filled with so much hatred. They said, if I ever see you again, I'm going to kill you. And they end up being our landlords. Amen? What a mighty God we serve. And we started this church. It began to grow a little bit. And I have to tell you the very abbreviated version of all of this. But you know what? We needed a bigger place. And I believe that God gives visions to people. And I don't mean anything like really spooky, but he lays on people's heart what he wants you to do. And I believe that he wanted me to build this church. And I still love basketball, even though I'm getting a little bit older. And I wanted a church with a gymnasium. And so I took out a piece of paper, sketched out a church right here, and then it had a gymnasium right here, an auditorium right here. And I said, God, could we build this in Fort Heights, and could you honor us with this? And then one day I was driving in Chicago Heights, and I looked over on this, wait a minute, that looks just like what I drew on the piece of paper. And I saw this church that was already built, an auditorium that seats 300 people, full court basketball court, a place to feed people, you know, 15 Sunday school rooms. Pretty nice building. And I came back to the church, my just little church, little group of people meeting there. I said, you know what? I think I've seen the church. So we all piled into our church vans. Now, you should have seen my church vans. I mean, we prayed every time we got into our church vans. Lord, bring us from this place to that place, you know. By the time they get donated to me, they're in bad shape. And so, anyways, we got in our church vans. We went up to this church. It was called Emmanuel Baptist Church. And we just put our hands on it, our little congregation, and just said, Lord, if it be your will to give us this church, Lord, you provide a miracle, and God, you give us this church, if it be your will. We don't know these people. We don't know what your plan is. But if it be your will, we would love to have this place. I knocked on the door, asked if we could rent the place. We began to rent on Sunday afternoons. Their congregation died out. The community changed, and they didn't make changes to minister to the community. Our church grew. And you know what? They said, we'll sell you the church building. And I'm like, praise the Lord. But you know, I'm still, we're just still a little church here. No money. A place like that, it was insured for $1 million. Now, no one would pay $1 million for it, you know, but if you were to build it and all of this, it would cost a lot of money. And we just prayed. And they came to us and said, you know what? We believe in what you're doing. We'll sell you this church, 300-seat auditorium, full-court basketball, kitchen, 15 or plus Sunday school rooms, nice location. We'll sell it to you for $20,000. And we say, praise the Lord. But $20,000 to us is like $20 million to someone else. So we still had a problem. So we went to prayer again. And then they came back to us again. They said, you know, we know that you're struggling and you're trying to do your best for the Lord. I tell you what, we'll give you a year to come up with a down payment of $2,000. And then after that, you just pay us the balance of the $20,000 as you can. No interest, just pay as you can. We serve a mighty God. To God be the glory. Let him get the praise. And so God was just so good to us and gave us that facility. We became a church of holistic ministry, believing you can't just proclaim the love of God without demonstrating it. You can't just say, God loves you, and then run away. If you're going to demonstrate God's love, you got to be there and meet the needs, and we did our best to do that for many years. Anyways, 18 years, I started running out of gas. It was about 10 years ago. Getting tired out. I've known about 100 people, literally, that have been murdered. Pastors can understand what that does. I can't tell you how many gangland funerals I've done. Police protection, but still not feeling safe because of the police, only because of the Lord. And probably wrong decisions on my part too, but I just got very burned out, and it was just time for me to leave the church, and I turned the church over. Reverend Roy Patterson, some of you might know him. He's a host of Urban Praise on Moody Radio. He took the church over, and I've been started a nonprofit organization, Reconciliation Resource Ministries, to bring the family of God together. City churches, suburban churches, working together, and we do many things, but I believe in two-way relationships, not just bringing Christmas toys and school supplies to the city, but you know what it says in the Bible? The hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Even the little children of Strong Tower have something mighty and powerful that the suburban churches need. A true, deep faith of depending on God. If God doesn't see me through today, he just ain't going to see me through. I need God with all of my, and I believe that the urban church has so much to offer the city church, and I work on developing these relationships. And I, too, have run through some health problems, major burnout, and I've been through some valleys, too. I mean, just my memory gone, not able to function, just weary, and through some hard times. You know, it's hard to raise funds when you're going 5 miles per hour. It's hard to go to a church and say, you know, even though the effort's there, I mean, you're working long hours, but you're only getting this much done. It's hard. And I've been through some hard times. I know what it's like to have your gas cut off. I know what it's like for ComEd to be saying, you come up with the money by next week or we're cutting off your electricity. But you know, through that time, I've been able to grow in understanding, and God has done a depth. And then around 2 years ago, I just went through another just really time, and I just looked up to God and said, God, help. I can't do this. I'm trying to fix it, because I would try to fix it by digging down deeper. I've got to work harder. I've got to get up earlier. I've got to work longer. And God blessed me with a family. I got married late in life at age 37, about 10 years ago, and just trying to, you know, it was easy while I was single. But, you know, my girls, they all want to eat, you know. It puts more pressure on you, these women, I tell you. They stress me. But it's a blessing. When I got married, I got a daughter when I got married, because she had a child already. And then I was blessed to have a little Katie, who some of you all met Friday. So anyways, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I just cried out to God saying, God, send some advocates, send some help. I can't do it. And I thought I was all alone. And all of a sudden, the body of Christ, people that many of them that I didn't even know, God sent them to the rescue. My van, some of y'all saw my van, all beat up. Someone said, you know what? I'm going to fix your van. I needed brakes. I got the van back. And then I noticed I had a bit orange shoestring tying my exhaust up. You know, and I said, well, wait, the orange shoestring isn't there. And I looked underneath, brand new exhaust system there. And you know what? Some people got together and said, you know what? We're going to help you out. We're going to have a fundraiser for you. And we had 215 or so people show up. And I thought I was all alone, that no one even knew what I was doing. Unable to perform, but a good, a mighty, and a powerful God. And they raised some money to help keep my ministry afloat. You know, and not that I'm out of the woods. I still need prayer, and even actually praying that God will provide a miracle for me to get my health insurance paid that was due yesterday. But you know what? God has just been so good. And they came together, and my house was like a reflection of me. It was all beat up. It would rain. I'd have to grab the buckets, put the buckets where they need to go to try to capture the rain and all this. But you know what? Some Christians got together. One guy said, I have a roofing company. Another guy says, I work at a heating and air conditioning company. And they came to me and said, Scott, we want to help you out. They put a brand new roof on my house. I mean, it was a tear off. They tore off the roof, put it on 50-year shingles. I didn't even know they made 50-year shingles. They said, we need to help you. You know, while I was showing them the house, God was really good, because he sent a bird that went actually into the, you know, one of the holes in my house. You know, he sent the perfect timing, you know, while they're there praying for me. And the bird went in. They said, you know what? You need new siding. So let me give you, and you know what? They put in brand new siding all around my house. And they weren't done then. They said, you know what? You're tight on money. You need energy efficient windows. Brand new windows all the way around the house. No big foundation, no big organization, but a mighty and a powerful God who will honor his word and honor his servant. They also put in a new air conditioner, a new furnace, a new back door. Just praise the Lord. So continue to pray for me, and I will pray for you. And just real briefly, and I just thought sharing my testimony was part of it, because I think sometimes you're going to be inspired to hear about other people's journey. And I've pastored a church for 18 years, and I know that there's ups and downs and flows, and there's times of big growth, times of revival, and then there's also times of purification where God purifies the church and finds out who really means business for God, and those people who really mean God, you know, and dips where it comes down, and then God sends his power in a mighty and a powerful way. And you know, my message today is, who do you love? In this passage, it's the words of Jesus Christ. And just to give you a background here, 2,000 years ago, the Jewish nation, they thought everything was wonderful. The religious leaders, they forgot what religion was all about. They had a big, beautiful temple. They had some nice duds. I mean, they looked good. They memorized scripture. They gave money to the church. They thought they had it made. But you know what? They forgot what it was all about. They forgot about the hurting people. They forgot about people who were struggling. And you know what? They were filled with pride. And then came Jesus. Amen? Jesus came and, you know, he turned everything up down. And the religious leaders, they got together and said, this man, he's hanging out with sinners. He's hanging out with, quote, the poor. He's hanging out with those who are struggling. And what is it? And you know what? Jesus taught, up is down, down is up. And he just turned, if you want to be great, it's not about titles and positions. Let me just testify here. And sometimes I don't like chasing rabbits, but sometimes it's good. But as a pastor, you know what wore me out the most? It wasn't my murder funerals, although that's stressful. It's internal things. People, if I'm not the captain, if I don't get to wear the captain's hat, I don't want to do it. Titles, positions, these things don't matter. God says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, be the servant of all. That's why you see Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he who alone deserves praise. He who you see him on his knees washing someone's feet. He's showing he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to be a servant. And so Christ comes, and he turns up the religious world upside down. And in this passage, he says, you have heard, if somebody does you wrong, you do them wrong too. You know, it's like, I've heard, you don't know who you mess with, you know? You just don't know who I am. If you knew who I was, you wouldn't be saying that to me now. You know, I've heard that before. Okay, yeah. All right. And he says, and people have this attitude, if you do me wrong, not only am I going to do wrong back to you, I'm not just going to get even, I'm going to get up one on you. But Jesus says, you know what, there's a new way here. You have heard it said, if someone does you wrong, you do it wrong. But I, Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, I say, love them that persecute you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That's hard to do. You know, we like, you know, that's a mouthful. To bless those who do you wrong. Now, this does not mean you don't seek justice in a situation. God has authority systems set up in places of employment, in the police force. This does not mean you just allow people to abuse you. But it does mean you let go of that bitterness. Revenge is that desire to get someone hurt. You turn it over to God and you turn it over to the proper authorities. And you let God deal with this thing here. And he goes on to say, if you do this, then you'll be like the sons of God. For the Heavenly Father, you know what? When he sent the rain the other day, it didn't just rain on the good people's lawns. It was on everybody's. And you know, that's the way God's love is. It's on everybody. And that's how God wants us to be. You know what? You might just you know, no matter what you do, I'm just going to love you. I'm going to do my best to pour out my love back to you. God has called us to be loving. This is hard. To be loving means to fulfill their needs. It means to be kind to them. It means not to repay evil for evil, not to curse them out because they cursed you out. But God wants us to be loving. Now, I'm going to kind of start wrapping it up in a few minutes here, but he, think about God. How forgiving has God been to you? You know, one of my favorite stories is that story about the debtor that Jesus tells, and this is that guy who owed a great big debt, and he's brought before the king. And the king says, pay me what you owe. Have you ever been stressed by a bill collector? Back then, they had the power to throw you into jail and maybe even worse. Pay me what you owe me. He falls down on his knees, the guy who had this great debt. He says, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I know I owe you this great debt, but please have mercy on me. The king, in his heart, says, okay, I'll forgive you. I'll let you go. Then that guy is walking home, and then as he's walking home, he sees somebody. Hey, where's my $2.50 that you owe me? Where is it? It says in Scripture, he takes him by the neck and grabs him by the neck, says, give, pay me what you owe. Well, you know what the king thought about that. And of course, you know the application of that. How merciful has God been to you? I can testify, God's been merciful to me. How prone have we been to wander? How prone have we been to not follow his will? But you know what? God just pours out his love to us. He's merciful to us. How dare we get upset at somebody for some little thing that they do towards us when God has forgiven us of so much? We need to forgive each other. If there's someone in this room that you have bitterness towards, God, you know what? God wants you to go to that person and make it right. You know, and just, you know, especially if they're aware of it. Maybe if they don't know about it, might be best just to let it be. Sometimes, you know, someone says, you know, I've been really bitter towards you. And you're like, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have known that, you know. But you know what? If they know, if you got a conflict going on, you who are spiritual take the first step. Well, they started. You mean to tell me it's 100% that person's fault? You know, I know better. Go to that person. Humble yourself. You want to be right with God? Humble yourself. Ask for forgiveness. So, we're to be kind. Let me just ask you this question. Has anyone here ever been deeply hurt before? Anybody ever been deeply hurt? Disappointed? Man, I have too. I've had people treat me wrong because of the color of my skin, just like you have. I can remember going out, passing out Christmas toys and having people cursing me out. I remember one time I was passing out Thanksgiving baskets in the community, and this young lady tried to get me beat up by a gang that I was bringing the turkeys to her house. And you know what? People do you wrong. But the people who need God's love the most, and they're the most difficult to love. And here's the thing. Did you ever notice that there's a certain person that just really irritates you? You know what? Sometimes it's a personality clash. Some people are quiet. Some people are nonstop. Yak, 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 yak. Just be quiet. Yak, 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 yak. Some people have personalities you don't like. But some people are doing wrong. But here's the thing. Sometimes people say, you know what, there's somebody in the church that I don't like, it's not treating me right. I'm going to go to another church. And they go march over to another church, and what happens? That person's there. Same person, different name. I mean, you can't run from it. In the shell, in that strong tower. Man, what an opportunity for spiritual growth. You're tight in one little location, bunch of people living in one house. Kids interacting with each other. Woo! I pray for you guys. I'm getting a witness here. All right, help me out here. You know what? But you know what? God wants you to grow. And you know what? Maybe it's your little child that you're going to save their life because they're going to see you be pressed by somebody. Someone with being nasty. Someone being wrong. Someone with an attitude. And you know what? They're going to learn how to respond to that by watching you. And if you fight fire with fire, revenge for revenge, that little boy, that little girl is growing up and they're learning that's what you do. Somebody does me wrong, I'm going to get them back. But when they see humility, and I'm like I said, I'm not saying allow people to abuse you. There's an authority system set up even within Strong Tower that you can deal with problems. But this nastiness back, getting an attitude back, you let go of those things. Bitterness only hurts yourself. Just a couple stories, and I'm going to be done. When I used to live in Glenwood, I had a next-door neighbor. Her name was Ruth. Ruth was about 75 years old. And you know what? She knew I was a minister. And she'd always come up to me, and she'd pull me on the arm, and she'd tell me the same story. You know how it is sometimes? You ever know someone, they always tell you the same story? She'd tell me this story. And every time she'd tell it, she'd begin to cry. She said, "You know what, Pastor Scott? When I was 11 years old, the church thought I was stealing money from the offering plate. And I didn't steal any money from the offering plate." And then she would begin to cry and cry. And you know what? For 60 years, she's been crying. For 60 years, she's been out of church. For 60 years, she's been holding on to a hurt in her own life when God wanted to set her free of that. You know what? When you hold on to that anger, that desire for revenge, you know what? Who are you hurting? You're hurting yourself. You can't have a right relationship. How can you say love? You love God whom you've not seen if you don't love your brother or your sister whom you have seen. Amen? It's like the missionary story. They tell you how they catch monkeys, and they take a coconut, and they cut a hole in it, and they tie it to a tree, and in that they put some sweet rice, or they put some candy, and that monkey comes by. He sees that. Oh, it looks good. He grabs it, grabs a handful of stuff, and then he can't pull his hand out of the coconut, and it's stuck there. It's a chain that he stays there till they come and they capture him. Isn't that something? Some of us, we're still holding on, aren't we? We're holding on. Some of you have been holding on 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You're holding on. You're not going anywhere in life. You're not flying with the eagles. You're not thriving in life. You're holding on. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. And what is it? It's just letting go. So often we think the Christian faith is struggle, hard work. No, it's letting go, yielding yourself to God. Let me ask you, is there somebody you need to let go of bitterness towards? Turn it over to God. God is the minister of justice. He'll take care of it on this world. And if not on this world, he'll more than take care of it in the next world. You don't have to worry about revenge. Turn that all over to the Lord. We need to love each other. So Jesus asked this question. He says, let me just close by reading out these verses here. He says, and if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? And if you only love those who reward you, what different are you from others? Let me close by I say that a lot. Let me close. Let me close for real this time after I tell two stories. Jesus says, we're to forgive each other. And then he asks this question, what is the difference between your circle of love and someone else's? And this is the question I'm going to leave you with. He says, the world. Let's just take this congregation here. And let's take the people who live across the street. What is the difference between your circle of love and their circle of love? And here's what I mean by circle of love. Those people that you love, those people that you will do for, that's what love is. They love their parents. They love their spouse, hopefully. They love their children. They love a few neighbors. They love a few friends. That's the same as us. But what makes us different? How do we let our light so shine before men that they may see the Father and glorify the Father which is in heaven? What makes us? We shine out as bright light when we have a bigger circle of love. When we love people who don't deserve to be loved. When we love people who mistreat us, then we have an opportunity to be Christ-like. Then we have an opportunity to demonstrate. You know what? The world is looking for authentic Christians, not people who get up and, you know, talk the talk. They want people that are going to walk the walk. And, you know, that's what God has called us to do. Now, for my final story, let me tell you a story that a lady told me. Her name is Evelyn. What's her name? Thank you. Evelyn. Evelyn told me this story. This happened back some years ago in Michigan. Evelyn, good-hearted lady, but she had some problems. She was addicted to alcohol. She was an alcoholic. And you know what? She'd start drinking. It was like she turned into a different person. Just, you all seen it before. Nice person, start drinking too much, turns into an evil acting person to some degree. And you know what? This lady named Evelyn had some neighbors that were Christians. And they had this lady who said, you know what? I'm going to do my best to demonstrate love to Evelyn. And often she would go over. She didn't know how to witness. She didn't know how to share her faith. In fact, she would carry a big family Bible over to her neighbor's house. Evelyn would told me, she said, you know what? I'd see that big family Bible coming. And the closer it got, it just looked like the bigger and bigger it got. You know, and it says, I see this big Bible coming towards me. And then she'd knock on the door, and she was always talking about Jesus and always asking me to go to church. One time, Evelyn just couldn't take it anymore. This neighbor lady came over there, said, Evelyn, I'm praying for you. I love you. I want you to come to church. I want you to know the Lord like I know the Lord. And Evelyn snapped. She said, you blankety blank 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 blank, get out of my blankety blank blank house. Don't ever come back here, you blankety blank person. And she cussed this lady out. But then, here's what happened. That lady she cussed out began to cry. She didn't cuss her back yet. She just began to cry and began to weep and said, I'm so sorry, Evelyn. I love you, and I didn't mean to offend you. Evelyn told me, when I saw those tears, I realized it wasn't that lady crying for me. I saw those tears. That was Jesus crying for me. And for the first time in her life, she understood the love of God, and God changed her life, and she went on a path towards God. And I praise God for that neighbor who demonstrated love to that alcoholic. Isn't that a wonderful story? Amen. You know why it's even more wonderful? That alcoholic is my grandmother, who raised my mom in the faith, who raised a preacher boy who's now preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where did it start? Started by loving someone who didn't deserve to be loved. Someone who was cussing them out when they didn't deserve to be cussed out. Someone who had an attitude towards them when they didn't deserve to have an attitude towards them. Someone who demonstrated love instead of repaying evil for evil. God wants us to love each other. How big is your circle of love? Is there a difference between the people you love than your neighbors? Do you love difficult people? God has called us to be loving. Let us pray. Lord, speak to our hearts.